We've been looking at this letter to the Hebrews, the letter written to these early Christian believers who had been transformed, changed, moved from their Judaism into believing in Jesus. But now they're under pressure. Now they're under pressure to turn their backs on all of this that they've learned and experienced and go back to where they were. They're under pressure simply to abandon all that they've learned and experienced and go back. So as we've looked through this letter to this early church, this young church, we've had the sort of strap line for Hebrews that Jesus is better, Jesus is greater. And that's what's being taught all the way through this letter. So it starts with angels, when the writer simply says, well, look, you may trust in angels, you may think a lot about angels, you may turn to angels, but Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. Moses, who was so central to the Jewish faith, central to all that they believed, that all that they were, the writer simply says, Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. The high priest, who carries out this vital function in the temple, Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. So all of the things and all of the people that these folks may have grown to rely on, the message is, all those things that you trusted in, all those people in whom you put your complete trust, Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. Let's move on. But it seems that for some folks it was simply head knowledge. It was as though they were absorbing lots of information, lots of information so that they could answer all the questions and those quizzes on TV. They got all the information there. But it's never gone any further than that. And all the way through this letter, you'll notice that as well as pointing to Jesus being greater and better, the writer is also saying, look, do something with this. Don't just store this away as information. Do something with this. And so all the way through the letter, we've seen so far things like, pay attention. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. Pay attention. Don't harden your hearts. If God's speaking to you today, don't harden your hearts. Pay attention. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. Don't run away from the living God. Don't just hear these things and then go off and do the old thing again. Approach the throne of grace with confidence so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in your times of need. Go on to maturity. The thinking here is not that here's great information that I can file away and I might be able to use it at some stage in the future. Pointing to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who will transform your life. Jesus is the one who is better and greater than anyone, than anything you have ever experienced or thought about. Jesus is the one. He is much more than just head knowledge. He is the living reality. And so in this little passage, we read that there have been people who have been enlightened. People who have tasted the heavenly gift, people who have shared in the Holy Spirit, those who have tasted of the Word of God and of the powers of the age to come. These are people who have come under the influence of God's love. People who have listened, people who have experienced this unfailing love of God for them. They've made all the right noises. They've done all the right things about turning from darkness to light, but they were in this dreadful danger of rejecting Jesus because it had never been a reality for them. Head knowledge, but nothing more. Head knowledge, but hadn't hadn't experienced that total change that the Bible simply calls being born again. It's just so transforming, there's no other way to describe it. It's a whole new you, born again. And these people were in danger of rejecting Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus addresses something of the same issue. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Lord, look at all the stuff we've done. We prophesied in your name. We drove out demons. We did miracles in your name, Lord.'" And here's the scary bit. Jesus said, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." It is dangerously possible to have all the right information and not experience the full depth of the grace of God in our lives. So there was this very real danger that some of the Hebrew Christians who were hearing this letter read to them were tempted to simply turn their backs on Jesus and go back to their Judaism, forgetting that Jesus is better, forgetting that Jesus is greater. And so they missed out. They missed out on what God had promised for them. The writer then tells this little short parable, talking about rain on the ground. A couple of weeks ago when we left here, the weather was wonderful. I don't know what you've done with it over there. Leave you alone for a couple of weeks and this is what you do with the weather. But the parable is about rain falling on ground. And ground that has that rain falling on it and produces that useful crop is ground that is blessed by God. Ground that produces just briars and brambles is cursed by God, burnt. Those who have experienced the cliche, the showers of blessing, and yet it's such a true cliche. Those who have experienced the showers of blessing of God's grace, and who have allowed that grace to produce a harvest, to produce fruit within them, to transform their lives, are blessed by God. But it is also possible that there are others who have experienced the same love of God and nothing happens. Waste ground. God's grace is free. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. It is God's undeserved love for you. It is free. It is free, but it is never cheap. Because it cost God his Son. John 3:16, at the very heart of the gospel, that God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's how much it cost God. Free, but not cheap. To continually reject the grace of God, whether we do it consciously, or whether it's just by carelessness, to continually reject the grace of God is to cheapen grace is to forget the cost of it. And so the writer here says it's like crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting him to public disgrace. We cheapen what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. May that never be said of us, that we treat God's grace so carelessly, so casually, that we cheapen it and end up like that waste ground. And yet in the midst of all this, the writer simply says that he's confident. Confident of better things. He's saying this is true. Some of you have cheapened God's grace, but I can look at some of you too and see better things. Changed lives. Acts of love. Things that accompany salvation. Things that demonstrate that salvation is working itself out in our lives. Things that demonstrate the reality of God's grace in our lives. Changed lives, acts of love, perseverance in the faith. All these things are evidence of salvation. And so for these folks who were tempted just to give up and to go back, the writer is saying to them, persevere. Knowing that Jesus is better, knowing that Jesus is greater, not just grit your teeth and bear it, persevere because Jesus is greater and better. Continue to allow him to transform your lives. Continue those works of love which demonstrate the reality of your salvation. As I look around the congregation, I am so thankful that those things are true. So thankful for transformed lives. Not because people have been trying harder or doing better, but because God has been at work. So thankful for all those acts of love which go on day by day, week by week, month by month, year after year. Some things we may see, other things just go on quietly in the background. So thankful for those who demonstrate that perseverance in the faith. Not only does it give evidence to their salvation, but it's so encouraging for the rest of us. As we see God at work, as we know that God is at work amongst us and in us and through us. The Bible doesn't say that you are saved by knowing about Jesus. That's just not enough. The Bible says if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Here's our certainty. Not in our ability, but that Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. Jesus died and rose again for us. And in these things we persevere. And these things we hold fast. And then we live our lives to the praise of his glory. Let's pray together. Lord, forgive us. that we take so much for granted in everything, but perhaps especially in your love for us. Forgive us, Lord, that we've experienced your grace in so many different ways, those troubled times that you have brought us through, those times of weakness when you have been our strength and our refuge. And we've been deeply thankful in those times, Lord, and yet have quickly walked away. Lord, may we be like that land which has experienced those showers of blessing, and then produces a rich harvest. And all so that your name would be honored, and others may come to experience your unfailing love for them. So, Lord, work in us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, where we need to be reassured, do that, we pray. Where we need to be shaken out of our complacency, Lord, do that, we pray. And all to the praise of your glory. Amen.